This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
8:45, quarter till 9. I've been looking forward to this. Dr. John Curatola joins us now, who is the Samuel Murray Stone Senior Historian at the National World War II Museum, a retired U.S. Marine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Thank you so much. I want to hear the story of we've been talking about fighting tigers since September. Let's talk about the flying fighting tigers and Claire Lee Chennault. Tell me the story however you find it best to explain this to us, sir. Please.
Yeah, Claire Chennault's really an interesting character. He was really born here in Texas, but he spent some of his childhood in Gilbert and Waterproof, Louisiana. He's born in 1890. He goes to LSU for a year for ROTC training. But then when World War One comes around, he enlists in the Army, and eventually he's sent to flight school and earns his wings. But he doesn't actually fight in the First World War. But what he does is he goes into pursuit aviation, what we would call fighters today. And he's a big advocate of fighters at a time when bomber aircraft are in vogue. And he's a big advocate for pursuit aviation. And as a result, he finds himself at loggerheads with Army leadership at that time, who was pushing for bombers. So as a result, he continues his career, but eventually retires from the U.S. Army. But he's recruited by the Kuomintang in China under Chiang Kai-shek to evaluate their air force. And once the Japanese invade, he actually stands up the Flying Tigers, as you mentioned before, mm-hmm. that are the first Americans to really engage the Japanese in the Pacific before Pearl Harbor comes around.
Let me talk about the changes in air warfare between World War One and World War Two, or in its infancy, because, you know, you think about the planes with the struts on the wings and so forth, and what was air combat like then, and then how did it slowly evolve into, as you said, pursuit aviation?
Yeah, it's a great question. In the First World War, you had these funny things called airplanes, and people aren't quite sure what they're used for. Mm-hmm. Are they even worthy of the battlefield? And what they find out...
Let me interrupt for one second, Doctor, if I can interrupt for one second. We're talking about pretty small light aircraft here at this point, and fairly fragile or not?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that was the point, is are they battle worthy? Because airplanes have maybe 100 horsepower at the most. They're mm-hmm. very light. They're fabric covered. You know, they're made out of wood. And so can they sustain themselves in a battlefield? And what they find out in the First World War, that airplanes are great for observation and looking at the enemy. And by the same token, you don't want the enemy looking at you, so we start to develop what we call pursuit aircraft to shoot down those observation aircraft. Mm-hmm. At the same time, they realize, hey, maybe you could strap on some rockets or some small bombs on airplanes and drop those on the enemy, and we can even build bigger planes that can bomb the enemy behind their front lines. And so you have this evolution of air power in the First World War that kind of proves itself, but the First World War shapes aviation more than aviation shapes the First World War.
So, if I can jump in for a second, you have this new technology, you have this evolution that goes on and says, okay, well, how can we use it to more effectively defend ourselves and promulgate a war? And then how can we improve the technology, improve the aircraft with an eye towards making us a more effective fighting force? Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is. It's completely accurate. And what you see towards that end is a development of very specific kinds of airplanes, fighters, bombers, cargo aircraft, observation aircraft. And the interwar years between 1920 and the 1930s, you see aviation growing by leaps and bounds. Now you have, 700, 800, 1,000 horsepower engines during the interwar years. Air races are big. And you have the development of high-octane fuels for better engine performance. And so these interwar years are very, very important in the development of aircraft technology.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Fascinating conversation with Dr. John Curalta. Nice enough to spend some time with us. Samuel Zamore Stone, senior historian at the National World War II Museum, a retired U.S. Marine himself. And we're talking about Claire Chennault, who grew up in Louisiana, went to LSU, helped fight Japanese forces prior to World War II. Is that accurate, Doc?
They start setting up operations relatively in 1941, just before Pearl Harbor.
All right. So we'll continue to talk about the Flying Tigers, and I guess they were named after the LSU Tigers or not?
That I'm not quite sure of.
Well, let's go with that.
Okay, we'll go with that, sir.
For me, we'll go with it. Not you, because you have credentials. But for me, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. 8:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:56, 4 till 9. I got some nice feedback over the holidays at different events I went to from listeners saying they loved hearing different types of things like we're doing right now, as opposed to the same old political stuff with the Republicans, the Democrats, the blah, 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 blah. And there's a place for that. I'm not knocking that. But we just take a different approach here in the morning and try to give you a different taste of a lot of different things. And one of which is talking to John Curatola, Dr. John Curatola, Samuel Zamore Stone, senior historian at the National World War II Museum, retired U.S. Marine, about Claire Chennault, who grew up in Louisiana, went to LSU, died at Ochsner Hospital in New Orleans from the damn cigarettes that they handed out to the military.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And we're talking about the Flying Tigers. When it came, early aircraft battle, what was your rank, sir, in the military?
I retired as a lieutenant colonel.
The colonel. So when it comes to air to ground, from ground to air defense, was it just like small arms that they would shoot at these light planes, fabric-covered planes, that was it?
Yeah, exactly. What happens is the development of anti-aircraft artillery and air defenses really evolves during the First World War, but more so in the interwar years and early on in the war. Anti-aircraft artillery becomes more and more important as aircraft establish themselves more and more on the battlefield. And in the interwar years, you start to develop not only heavy caliber weapons like the 88 millimeter that the Germans will make famous, but they also start to include radar and radar direction, and the fact that you can now vector fighters to incoming aircraft. So you have this development of integrated air defenses during the interwar years, like you see in the Battle of Britain with their chain home radar systems. And the Germans will also, of course, develop that as well during the combined bomber offensive when British and American bombers are hitting German cities and areas in occupied Europe.
Will drones ever take the place of fighter jets or bombers completely or at least human piloted aircraft?
As a private pilot myself, God, I hope not.
I think. Well, I was going to ask you what Chennault would have thought of drones, et cetera.
I think that they certainly have a place, and future warfare. I think is going to include that, as we see already, with the war with Russia, and I think that particular war right now that's going on, or the conflict, is indicative of what we're going to see in the future. Much like in the 1930s, you had the Spanish Civil War that was a harbinger of weapons for the Second World War. I think what you're seeing in the Ukraine is indicative of that as well.
Quick word about the World War II Museum while we have you, Doctor.
Yeah.
Just in general, why people should go?
Yeah, the mission of the museum here is why the war was fought, how it was won, and what it means today. And it certainly still resonates in our contemporary global environment. Just because it was over 80 years ago doesn't mean it does not affect our contemporary world. It does significantly.
We're lucky to have it. I'm going to tell you what, I think every American owes it to their country to go to D.C. at least one time and a World War II museum one time, and you don't have to get on a plane to go to the World War II museum if you're here already. Thank you, Dr. Agreed. Colonel. I appreciate your time. Have a good day. And Happy New Year.
You too. Bye-bye.
You bet. When we take a break, we'll talk to Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, talking about crime. And then we're going to have another special little feature for you about Tulane and 8 million fish in a World War II bunker.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.